Come on up. We'll just pick a side of the table. All right. Good morning. Morning. Yeah, you're all coming. You have a present. Some of you don't come most weeks, but you saw this and you came. I know what you're up to.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it? You just came? Good job.
I didn't see that either.
Oh, uh-huh. You saw it? We have one person. All right. Good morning, everybody. I like that tie. Pretty cool. All right. What is this?
Present.
A present? What do you think's inside? What kind of toy? Ice cream for you? It would be all melty and gross. What if I told you it was the most amazing present in the whole entire world? Then what do you think would be inside?
Clothes.
Clothes? That's your favorite thing in the whole entire world?
No. Oh. A DS.
A DS, okay.
A phone.
Okay, could be.
A tablet?
Maybe a tablet. Maybe a TV, a really small TV. Yeah. You have to you have to imagine, don't you? You can maybe shake it. I hear pieces. It's not very heavy. You want to feel how heavy it is? Yeah, not very heavy. Okay, I'll have it. So you can feel how heavy. So you have to use your imagination because we don't know what's inside, right? I can just promise you that it's something really, really awesome. And you have to use your imagination to know what it is. You know what? Kids are way better at imagining things than adults. Way better. Yeah. Well, I don't know what's in there. I have no imagination. I think it's like, I don't know.
Maybe
shoes. Because adults are boring. We have a hard time with imaginations. But you're going to see a bunch of boxes kind of like this in the next few weeks of people bringing in gifts for kids all around the world, kids who don't have very many gifts. And when you open them, some will have some colors in them, maybe some paper and pencils for school, maybe some stuffed animals or a little toy. But then if I also told you in that box, there's love and there's hope. How do you put that in a box? You know? Yeah, you have to imagine that a kid somewhere around the world might be wondering, God, do you remember me? And they open this box and they see a letter from somebody that says, I'm praying for you. And they see, wow, God remembers me. And then they had this gift of hope and of love. We can imagine really big things in the world that God's doing, even with just a box that we give to somebody. Today in our scripture, we read this verse that says we serve a God who can do even more than we could possibly ask or imagine. Isn't that crazy? And so if you imagine the best thing that could happen in the world, something that would be so awesome, maybe there's no kids that are hungry anymore, maybe people aren't hurting, maybe in your school nobody is treated bad, you can imagine a really awesome, awesome world. And it says we serve a God who can do even more than we imagine. That's exciting, and we need your help because you guys imagine a lot better than we do. So help all of us know what the kind of things you imagine God doing. Maybe it's a puzzle. Help us know what you imagine God doing and encourage us to imagine big things too. Can we do that together? Will you help us? All right, pray with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these boys and girls, and I thank you for their imaginations. I thank you that in their hearts and in their minds, there is nothing too big for you. Father, may it stay that way. As they walk through this world, would you continue to cover them with your love and your hope, and so that their imaginations stay wide open for you. And Father, let us, as their church family, learn from them and imagine really great things too. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm sure to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Of this gospel I have become a servant, according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I'm the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. Pray, therefore, that you might not lose heart over my sufferings for you. They are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Pray with me. Our God, thank you for your word. It is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Father, we need your Spirit, your direction, your guidance this day. Our hearts are open. Would you lead us where you will to do what you would have us to do, to be who you would have us to be. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You have to forgive me. I'm fighting a cold this morning, so I may pause a few times and just kind of breathe, but I'm still here. When I was a child, one of my very favorite things to do was to imagine. I had dolls. I loved dolls, and I had enough dolls to make my very own classroom and my very own bedroom. For literally hours on end, I would be the teacher, and they would be my very own daycare. I would imagine the conversations that we would have between us and which one was acting up and needed time out and for how long. At snack time, I would imagine which kids were picky and didn't want the snack, and I would just eat theirs, and which ones wanted seconds, and I would also eat theirs. I'd go through the whole day with these dolls and imagining who would get picked up first and who was that one kid who was always last during nap time, who wouldn't fall asleep and needed extra attention. When I got a little bit older and realized that it was no longer socially acceptable to have a fantasy world with my dolls, I began to play sports, and I was really into it. Shooting baskets on my family's driveway, I would imagine dozens of defenders and the incredible number 13 dribbling in and out of all of them untouched, always to make that game-winning shot right at the buzzer. And if I missed, I got the layup, and I made it the next time or the next time. Unstoppable. I came across a book that I had made in the fifth grade, and in that book, one of the pages said, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And I said that I was going to be the first person to get a gold Olympic medal in soccer and basketball and track all in 1 year. I know, thank you. It seemed possible. I mean, on my driveway and in my own backyard, I was faster and had better moves than anyone around. There was no reason that couldn't come to be. Yes, children have really great imaginations. But over time, they begin to experience reality more and more until they become a little bit more realistic themselves. My four-year-old nephews right now, they can put on a cape, and they can truly believe in that moment that they are now Superman, and they can fly. It'll only take them falling a few more times and waking up crying from a few more bad dreams before they realize that really they're just little boys and they're just as ordinary as everyone else. By the sixth grade, I, for one, had quit soccer, and I didn't even make the seventh grade track team. So my dreams of being the best at everything were quickly dimmed by reality that I wasn't even really the best at one thing. Day by day, the imagination was replaced a bit more with the reality, the dream with the probabilities. It's just part of growing up, it's what they say. But must that be so? In Ephesians 3, we find Paul right in the middle of a long letter that he's writing to the church, asking the church to grow up in every possible way. And in Ephesians chapter 3, at the very heart of Paul is a desire for the church to experience renewed imagination. One of the first requirements, he says, for being adults in the faith is to maintain a piece of our childhood that the world, not the Spirit, but that the world took away from us. Imagine, Paul says. Imagine. Church, he says, grow up and imagine once again. First, he says, grow up and renew your imagination about who you are called to be. There in verses 7 through 9, Paul says, who would have thought it? He says, I am the least likely of all people to believe in this gospel stuff. He says, I mean, I was trained in the law. I knew it like the back of my own hand. I was so committed to it that I helped chase down and imprison those who were for this good news stuff in the first place. He says, my heart was hard as stone. I was so sure that I had mastered God. And now to be a slave of this gospel, of the very thing that I was taking slaves for, who would have imagined that? He says, I saw to it that some even gave their lives for stubbornly proclaiming this Messiah. And to think now, he's got my life too. Who would have imagined that? And I'm more stubborn about following him than any of them were. Doesn't even make any sense. He says, to think, I was respected. I was educated. I had the world at my fingertips, and now I am happy as can be to be called a slave of Jesus Christ of all people. Happy to be a man under authority, even to be a man on the run. Unimaginable. He says if that wasn't enough, of all the people who could have been called to share this gospel with the Gentiles, this slave was chosen. The very people I spent the first half of my life intentionally avoiding, thanking God that I wasn't one of them, judging and despising, the very ones I'm now called to love, even to the point of offering my own life so they may live. Paul says, in my wildest dreams, I never would have imagined this being my call. And now that I know it is, I wouldn't change it for the world. And so, people of God, Paul cries out, grow up and imagine again who God has called you to be. He says, I guarantee you, it's bigger than you could possibly think, bigger than you could possibly dream. Friends, this morning, I wonder who it is that God has called you to be. If you could see the reality of who you really are, of who you really could be, I wonder what your eyes might reveal. Just a really good dad? Just an overly patient mom? Just a committed spouse? Just a diligent employee? Just a kind person at the grocery store? Just a church member? You see, these are all good, but they're so typical, so normal, so realistic. We see those things all over the place, day in and day out. But imagine what it really is, what you really could be. Imagine you, of all people, called to love the ones in Mason County that no one else is willing to love. Now, what might that look like? Who might they be? Imagine you, of all people, called to write that book that only you can write, that stretches far beyond you to bring the gospel to a people who you may never even know. Imagine you of all people called to open your home to that refugee, even the one that everyone else is saying, but what bad things are they going to bring? But what bad teachings are they going to teach? And you of all people saying, as a slave of Jesus Christ, my bigger question is, what do I have to give? What word do I have to proclaim? Imagine you of all people believing that that place you spend 40 plus hours a week isn't just the means to a paycheck, but is indeed the mission field. That you are called and that you are sent there just as much as Mother Teresa was sent to India. That you are called and sent too, because God is not just your buddy and God is not just your friend, but God is your Lord and your master, and He is every place you are, and He's got something up His sleeve for you to do and for you to be about, even there, especially there. As Paul says, when we live into God's imagination and give ourselves over to the fullness of what He has for us, what we find is not just one huge burden, but we find a gift. A gift of God's grace that all we're about gets to be bigger than we could possibly have imagined. A gift of God's grace that we have been chosen by the Master of all for the work of changing our world. Not just our homes, but our world. Imagine. Just imagine what your life could be if God had all of you. Every last bit. And then know that what your life will really be like is even greater than you could dream. Paul says, grow up, people of God, and imagine again the fullness of who our God is calling you to be. And then he goes on and he says to the church, imagine what together you can do. There in verse 10, he says, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Or as the Message puts it, through followers of Jesus like yourselves gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. Paul says, as you, the people of God, live your lives together as the people of God, it is incredible what can happen. Just think about that first church for a moment, comprised of wealthy people who had worked hard for all they had, and of poor people who were much more comfortable in this role of begging and receiving, and they came together as one, sharing all things in common. So the wealthy would no longer have an emptiness of heart. And so the poor would no longer have an emptiness of resources and of wealth. For the first time in that first church, all the hungry and longing and searching people, they went home filled and known and found. In that first church, busy people carved out space for worship together day after day. Timid people shared their lives with each other. Those who had been mistreated, those who were slow to trust, they found in the church a place to be loved and a community to help them heal and belong. And it was in this spirit of genuine worship, of genuine sharing, genuine trust, of genuine community, that we see thousands came to believe week after week. And the angels in heaven couldn't stop talking about what was going on down there. The angels who stand in the presence of God were amazed by what was going on down there. And so, church, Paul cries out, imagine anew who God is calling you to be together. what God is calling you to do. Church, see the world you live in collectively and recognize the longings of human hearts all around you. And how does your life together as a church family speak into those longings? Imagine the angels looking down at the mess that we've made of this world. And imagine the angels looking around until their gaze stops on this little building on the main drag through Belfair, Washington on a Sunday morning. And imagine what about our life together might get them whispering as they begin to realize the work God has always been up to continues even here and even now. Imagine the angels. Oh, I see now that God is still in the work of redemption and reconciliation. Because look there. Look at those folks down there and how they're doing this incredible thing together. Oh, I see now that our God is still about the work of healing and about loving enemies. Still about the work of peace and joy and service and of hope. And I see it because I see it in those folks who meet down there as they live their life together. God is still up to something. Imagine the angels talking about us. Church, Paul cries out, you're the ones who reveal to our world that God hasn't given up on us. That there's another way to do life with each other, with our neighbors, with our enemies, and yes, even with our God. Imagine how your life together keeps this story alive. Even better, imagine how your life together adds a brand new chapter to it, to what God's up to. What might that chapter say? What are we up to? What are the angels talking about as they look down on us even this day? Anything? Something? Is it big enough? Paul says, grow up and imagine. Church, together, imagine. And I guarantee you, who you really could be is even greater than your wildest dreams. I have to confess on this one that I don't often imagine our life together being nearly what I know deep in my heart it could be. When I ask in the church family for volunteers, and I find myself immediately diminishing the investment that it would take, I hear myself saying, it's only half an hour every 3 or 4 months, or it's only every other week, or if you do this, we promise not to ask anything else from you for a really long time. When I do that, I find that I am buying into the lies of our time that says that deep investment in a community is primarily a burden and not the gift that Paul says it must be. And when I do that, I find myself diminishing the importance of those who are sacrificing week in and week out for our greater good together. Our praise band. Do you know that Monday nights, sometimes they're here for 3 hours? I look down from my house, sometimes close to 10 o'clock, and there's still cars in this parking lot. Every single week of the year, it's a big investment. Think about the people like Stan Hale, Debbie Bilderbeck, been teaching the same classes, children and adults, for 20 years, every week. Did you know that in Debbie's class, they've been in the Old Testament for 20 years? And did you know that they finish it in December and they're not taking a break? Then in January, they're starting the Gospels. Because it's not about how little can I give to get by. It's about this belief that what we are doing together matters. And that it's different than what happens out there. And that's okay. When I imagine the angels talking amongst themselves in heaven about what the church is doing down here, I don't imagine their conversation saying, did you see that person who hung out with the kids that one time for 20 minutes a few months back? That was really cool. I think that that's good. But I imagine that their conversations are filled with reflections on those churches where the people are actually choosing sacrifice for one another. We're in a busy, self-serving world. There are folks offering the gift of their time, the most precious thing they've got, the gift of their very lives for their brothers and their sisters. People not signing up for the bare minimum to be involved, but people deeply invested in the work of God in their midst. I confess, when my imagination is too tied to this world, when it gets a little bit too realistic, and I begin to say to myself, oh, they're just all so busy, and they're all so tired, and they're just all so maxed out, so I'll just ask for a very little, and I'll just ask once so I don't seem too pushy, then as your pastor, my imagination has grown too small. And I am keeping you from experiencing the full joy that comes from a life together, the kind of life that gets angels talking. And I want us to have a life like that. I can do better. We can do better. Let's grow up and imagine what our life together could be. Paul goes on, as if that's not enough. He always goes on. He goes on praying a bold prayer for others. In verses 14 through 19, he says that he prays that they may be strengthened in their beings. It's not a prayer for safety in their travels or protection from the bad guys. It's a prayer that whatever may come their way, that they may be a people steady and strong, a people at peace in their hearts, a people unshaken. And then Paul prays that Christ might dwell in their hearts as their faith is grounded in him. He doesn't pray that they might just check in with Christ here and there, especially on Sundays, but that they may actually be a people who dwell with the living God, that Jesus Christ would abide in them and that he would consume all of them. And he prays that they would be rooted and grounded in love, in their love for others, and in their growing love for God. Rather than asking that they might receive justice where justice is due, Paul prays that they might be a people who love. Rather than ask that they might be kept from their enemies, Paul prays that they might be a people who love. Rather than pray for job promotions or for their spouses to be less difficult or for their kids to be a little bit less annoying, Paul prays that they might be a people who love. He imagines the recipients of his prayer could be a people who stand strong in a world of chaos, whose faith is unshaken in a world of doubts and complications, and whose love only grows deeper in a world of violence and of fear and of hatred. Paul hopes for another way for the people of God. And his prayers reflect such a bold imagination. He says, people of God, let us grow up and let us pray big prayers for each other. Prayers that reflect the heart and spirit of our God, not just the heart and spirit of our flesh. And so as you pray for us, as you pray for your loved ones, your neighbors, yes, even as you pray for your enemies, do your prayers flow from a big imagination? Or have they become more or less routine? Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, for this food. Forgive us of all of our sins. Be with those in need. Amen. Where's the imagination in that? Are they prayers predominantly for what we want more than what he wants? Keep my loved ones safe. Let her get the job she wants. Help them find that house that they're looking for. Make our kids or our grandkids the smartest and the fastest and the cutest kids in their class. Let that annoying neighbor or that intimidating boss leave them alone this week. Let their spouse be a little bit less difficult. These prayers are all fine. They're fine. But they're just so typical. Again, what if we begin to imagine what our God really desires in those we love before we offer a single word on their behalf? What if instead we had a blank piece of paper with their name up top and we said, God, how do you want me to pray for this one? You guide my words. You guide my petitions. And what if we began to just listen for his heart and response? We might just hear our God say, pray for them to fall deeply in love with me. Pray for their entire lives to be turned upside down by my Spirit. When's the last time you prayed for someone's life to be turned upside down? That's one of Paul's very favorite prayers. Pray for their hopes and their dreams to be consumed by my hopes and my dreams for them. Pray for a strong, steady spirit that loves even more, even if the promotion doesn't come, even if the baby isn't healthy, even if their spouse is still difficult. Pray for their faith to hold on, even in those seasons that they can't see me, for their faith to soar, even as the world they live in gets more and more complex by the day. And pray for their love. More than anything, pray for their love. That they wouldn't protect their heart so much that they lose it. That they wouldn't fear giving every inch of their life to me, to our God, knowing that I am love. That they wouldn't hold out on loving those in their household or in their neighborhood or in their world because of indifference or because of woundedness, because of busyness or anger or fear. Yes, more than it all, you might hear God say, pray for their love. People of God, let us grow up and let us offer prayers for others that imagine our God fully alive in them. Let us pray those kind of prayers. Let us imagine and let us pray. And then finally, Paul says, let us imagine just how incredible our God is. A God whose love is wider, deeper, higher, and longer than anything we will ever know. In a world that tells us that we must earn love by being good enough and nice enough and needed enough. He says, imagine a God who says, I knew you when you were broken and angry and stained and when you had nothing to give me that I couldn't have just fine on my very own. And I loved you anyway. In a world that says, three strikes and you're out. Or fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, or shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. Hear a God that says, hurt me hundreds of times this day, and I'm not going anywhere. Never have, and I never will. In a world that says, there's no guarantee that love and commitment will last. Where divorce is always out there as an acceptable option. Where walking out when things get tough has become the average response. Imagine anew a God who says, I am love and I cannot deny myself. And so my love for you will always be. My desire for you will never fade. You can run and you can hide, and you can curse me, and you can fail, and you can choose this world 1,000 times over, and you can care less about me for years on end, but you cannot sway my love. You cannot make me pursue you less. And you cannot make me take back my sacrifice for you. And you cannot pretend that given it a chance to do all over again today, that I wouldn't sacrifice my son for you again today. People of God, Paul says, grow up and imagine a God who loves you like that. And just when you think you've got a grasp on how great His love is, just how all-encompassing, be ready to have your socks blown off as you see you've only skimmed the surface. Imagine our God's love. Imagine, and then imagine some more. As I look out at this beautiful church this morning, I can't help but start imagining our God fully alive in us. In my imagination, I see the lost pouring into our doors, so much that we are overwhelmed, don't know what to do with them. And I see all of you surrounding them with love and truth and with hope. I see this altar flooded with surrendered hearts, offering their lives to Christ week in and week out. Riding back from Idaho this week, we were talking about our church, and Harlan Olson shared a vision. He said, I imagine our parking lot needing to be in a place one day where it must extend to the side of the building and even out front. He said, if you can't imagine it, we can't begin working towards it. And I have to agree, I imagine that too. I imagine the people in this place seeing their gifts and their passions as offerings for us all and rising up left and right to invest deeply in our life together. I see teachers rising up to pour into our kids and our teenagers and our adults alike. I see groups meeting in this place and at homes around the community every day between Sundays, pouring their hearts out in prayer for one another, for our church, for our community, for our world. I see our dreams expanding past Belfair, Washington, and extending even to other countries and other people that we've never considered to be our neighbors at all before. And seeing as Jesus begins to do incredible work in our life with them, I see the sick finding healing in this place, the lost finding salvation, the believers becoming true disciples of Jesus Christ, the old mentoring the young, and the young carving out space to receive from the old. I imagine children growing up in this church, knowing the Bible truths and seeing themselves as disciples and missionaries in this world as they leave us and go to follow Christ wherever He may send them. I imagine a community that stands in awe of what God is doing at Belfair Community Church. And I imagine us being just as overwhelmed as they are. And we're just glad we're in here so we're not missing a thing. I imagine commissioning and ordination services as our own are discerning calls to ministry, and we get to bless them as they go. I imagine ministries developing out of your hearts, ministries that we have never imagined before, but by the guiding of the Holy Spirit, ministries that are the very thing we never knew we needed until you brought them to us. And I wonder, what about you? When you begin to think about us, about our God, about your own calling, what's the best you can imagine? When you think about us, our God, and your own calling, what do you imagine? What's the best you can do? Now to Him, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To Him who can do abundantly far more than we could ask or imagine, to Him be the glory. What can you imagine? What's the best you can do? Oh God, let it be far more than that. May it be so, our God, for your glory and for your name. May it be so. Would you pray with me? Father God, our imagination is yours. It's a gift of our spirit and our mind coming together to dream, to create things that we've never seen or things that perhaps we've seen and long to see again. And Father, we offer our imaginations to you. Renew them, God. This world has taken them from us. One day at a time, one year at a time. They've told us what's possible and what's not, what's probable and what's not. And yet we serve the God of this universe and the God who spoke it into being. And the God who's sending of his Son to be one of us and to die and to resurrect was far beyond anyone's imagination. And so, Father, we surrender our dreams and our hopes to you. Speak your truth and your hopes and your dreams into us. And even when we can't plan it ourselves, open our eyes to what you're doing so we can get on board. Renew our imaginations, we pray. Thank you that you can do more. Do more among us until you have your way completely. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.